Now in year number 6, it's a Yank on the Footy with Craig Wessels. Everybody sit back and enjoy a chat about the greatest game on the face of the earth. Thanks for listening, everybody, and I do hope you'll share it with your friends and family. Cheers! Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 316 of A Yank on the Footy. I'm Craig Wessels coming to you from Sandusky, Ohio, and I appreciate you tuning in. In this episode, I'm going to take a look back at the opening round as well as providing you with and sharing with you a little bit of additional information with you. Don't forget that if you're interested in having your local footy club get a shout out during an upcoming episode, drop me a note on one of my socials. You can find all of those over my website, yankonthefooty.com. And let's go ahead and dive on in. I did want to look back at the games from this most recent round. And of course, you know, we had what were arguably 4 quality games. And I know there was a lot of speculation as to whether or not the whole round 0 thing was a good idea. And I know if you're, you know, a footy purist, that maybe you didn't enjoy this whole idea of playing the first round of games away from Victoria or South Australia or WA. But I think with regards to what the NRL had done by coming here to North America, specifically to Las Vegas, to promote the game. And if you go back and you listen to a little emergency episode that I did back in November when that was announced, I thought that this was really an instance where the AFL needed to either shit or get off the pot, I believe was the technical term that I used there. Well, they decided to shit. But it was a good one. By sending these first 4 games to Gold Coast, Brisbane, and to Sydney, which I like the idea. I think that perhaps they could take it even a step further next year with the NRL, I believe, back in the U.S. again, and maybe go ahead and have like an opening round, gather round. Still have the one in Adelaide. Nothing wrong with that. But have all 18 clubs head up to New South Wales into Queensland. You've got 4 stadiums, AFL-ready stadiums there that they could play in. Between the 9 games that would need to be played. So you could play a couple games at each one of them, and maybe you have a 9th game being played at an additional stadium away from Brisbane, Gold Coast, or Sydney. I don't know, maybe you send one of the games up to Townsville, possibly, while it is still a little cooler up there since they play footy. Yeah, at that time of the year, because I know that the folks up in the Northern Territories are just wrapping up their seasons right now. I really like the idea of this because it showed those 2 states that, you know, the rugby states that, you know what, the AFL, and while they've got clubs that have had some great success there, you know, Brisbane's won multiple premierships, the Swans have been a successful side, Gold Coast is, I think, going to be coming along nicely this year. You know, the Giants have been a quality club in the last few years. So I think the glass is definitely half full and filling in Queensland and New South Wales. And I know a lot of people in Victoria were not happy that the traditional Richmond Carlton game was not the first game played in the season. But as I heard some other folks mentioning, you know, it is a national competition. It's not the VFL anymore. And I get that. And I think deep down, even folks that live in Victoria probably understand that as well. And they're wanting to grow the game and have it be as well-established as possible. And I would think that that if you're a fan of the Eagles or the Magpies or the Cats or, you know, Port Adelaide or anybody else that's not playing in New South Wales or Queensland, you want those clubs, and we're talking now GWS and Gold Coast at this moment in time, to be economically viable. We want these clubs to be able to stand on their own 2 feet from a monetary standpoint and not need any more assistance from the AFL. So if this allows that to happen, then I think that's a good thing. And, you know, we had some really good stories and some really bizarre stories this weekend. You know, I, first off, thrilled to see Zach Williams back out there, but absolutely crushed by the Doherty and Coleman ACL injuries. I know injuries are part of the game, but it's very sad that the two of them are going to be lost for the season, but it was great to see Zach Williams back out there. I have to tell you, I was impressed by the comeback of the Blues, because I think most of us, and I know one Blues supporter in particular who sent me a note online telling me that around halftime that, well, they were not pleased with the way things were going. And they had a specific direction that they went with their comment that I won't get into because it would share information that I don't have the authority to share. So I won't tell you about that. But I did reach out to this Blues supporter afterwards and say, hey, things turned out pretty well for you then. But, you know, that performance was awesome to see. And it was in, you know, and Brisbane played a good game, but, you know, they just could not hold on. And Brisbane is my pick for winning the premiership this year. In fact, two of the eight clubs that played this weekend, I have in the grand final. If you haven't listened to my preview episode that I did with Mick Aussie last week, I do invite you to go back and take a look at that one. And I had tipped Brisbane to play GWS in the grand final this year, so a non-Victorian grand final. But, you know, we saw some, you know, other, you know, injuries as well. Callan Ward's going to miss a good chunk of the season with his shoulder. You know, he's coming up on game 300. I think he has four more games before he's going to be playing game 300. You know, we saw a lot of ruck events take place. And we need to talk about the one that everybody's been talking about initially, and that's with Mason Cox. And, you know, when we saw the little snippet of about 10 seconds of footage, and we saw, you know, Mason Cox rolling through a handful of GWS Giants before the game with Shane Mumford and Stephen Canelio was there. And it just looked like, you know, quite frankly, a bit of a dick move on his part. But I think we're getting some context now that some other video has come out in his explanation that he had. And again, I've never seen a game in person. More about that in just a few minutes. But I guess that when the umpires are warming up and the rucks are warming up at the same time, that they kind of work in conjunction with one another, practicing their center bounces. I mean, it makes it. And again, I've not seen that personally happen, but it makes sense that the umpires would practice their center bounces before the game, not having their first one of the game to start the game be the first one that they do. That wouldn't make a whole lot of sense to me. So it makes sense that they must practice this and bring in the rucks to do this as well. And supposedly he had asked, it sounded like what had transpired was that he'd asked one of the umpires for, you know, for one more bounce to, you know, to get himself prepared for the game. And just happened to be that it went through, these players from GWS. And, you know, Adam Kingsley, I did read on Coach Sports that said, you know, not a big deal. Wasn't anything he was concerned about. He hadn't seen it when it was, you know, occurring. And even though he saw footage of it afterwards, he thought not a big deal. So I guess to say, you know, even though I kind of chastised him a little bit when I was on social media as well, it was not a dick move. It just happened to be he bumped into somebody. It was not, I don't think he was trying to be the ugly American. Okay. That's this face that stuck with that. Okay. Yeah. Back to the Blues game with the Lions again, one more time. Nice game from Lockie O'Neal. I have to tell you how impressed I was with the costumes, the Blues Brothers outfits that many of the Blues supporters were wearing up in the stands. Now, that kind of hit home and resonated with me a little bit because I grew up as a huge, huge John Belushi fan. Absolutely loved everything that man did. I thought he was a brilliant performer, just extraordinarily funny. And I have to admit, when he passed away, and I believe it was March 5th of 1982, and I didn't find out about it because I had 3 days earlier left to go to basic training in the Navy. So I didn't find out about it until I got a letter from my mom, I believe it was, where she had told me that he had passed away. Because, you know, we didn't have access to television. There was no internet in 1982. And I believe I shed a tear or two when I had heard that he had died. And well, you don't always want to do that sort of thing in front of a bunch of guys that you barely know, that you're learning to become a sailor with. But I do appreciate those of you who were the supporters of Carlton up there that were wearing the Blues Brothers costumes. I thought that was fantastic. Really, really enjoyed that. Like the theme stuff there. That was great. You know, looking at the ruck situation in one of the other games, of course, that being Sydney and Melbourne in the opener on Thursday. It was, I think it was brilliant the way that the AFL put the first four games together, you know, with Dimmer facing his old squad and Grundy and Gawn going up against one another, you know, two all-Australian ruckmen. And, you know, Brody Grundy having been caught up in a couple of situations over the last few years that were, you know, not necessarily of his own doing, but he, you know, he found himself in, you know, being kind of forced out with Collingwood, getting an opportunity to go to Melbourne, where I think Melbourne was trying to recreate that Max Gawn, Luke Jackson situation that they had had the previous year. Did not work out very well. Yeah, I'll be honest with you. And again, I'm not a coach. I'm never going to be a coach. But I have to ask, would Melbourne, if they wanted that experiment to be successful, would Melbourne have been in, would they have made a better decision to keep Grundy as the ruck and have Max Gawn move forward a little bit more? Because Max Gawn has had a little bit more experience, a little more success kicking goals than Brody Grundy. Brody Grundy does not kick many goals. Okay. Does not kick many goals at all. That's not his strong suit. He's a great tap ruckman, great endurance. You know, yes, you listen to old episodes of the show. I've claimed that there were multiple Max Gawns on the ground because he seemed to be everywhere. So he has great aerobic endurance as well, but he's also, I think, a better kick of the ball than Grundy was. So it was, you know, if that was to be successful, would they have been better off keeping Grundy in the middle and moving Gawn around and up forward a little bit more? I don't know. It's water under the bridge. It's over. They moved on. Grundy played one hell of a game against the D's. Great debut for him with a shorthanded Swan side who was missing several key members from their midfield, including, you know, Luke Parker, Taylor Adams. You know, they got the scoring that they needed, and, you know, they're going to get more of that as the club comes around. But you know, Melbourne, they just looked lost a little bit, and you know, as people had said, was the goal to play Clayton Oliver in round one, and was the Angus Brayshaw retirement the thing that exacerbated that situation and compelled them to put him out there before they were ready to do so? And I think that may be the case. It's but he played all right. He played all right, but it was, you know, the weather was humid from what I have been told. You know, so the ball was greasy, if you will. But you know, looking at that game and seeing what happens to Max Gawn in other situations, you know, the comp is trying to stamp out unnecessary violence. Okay. Whether you like that idea or not, it's a thing. It's what's happening. They're trying to keep players' safety and players' health in as pristine a situation as they possibly can. It's sport. There are going to be injuries. They're going to happen. It's a contact sport. Injuries are going to occur. Okay. But as a D supporter, do you get perturbed, pissed off, whatever terminology you want to use, when you consistently see players from the opposing squad all running by Max Gawn and throwing a shoulder, bumping him, a slight elbow, whatever the case may be, a little bit of a push as they travel past him to just kind of say, hey, don't forget we're here. But you're also trying to wear him down a little bit. And now you don't have Grundy backing him up in the ruck. You don't have Luke Jackson backing him up in the ruck either. So is this going to take a toll? I mean, as long as the AFL is not going to adjudicate it, and they're not going to stop clubs. I think it's petty. I don't like it, but I think clubs are probably going to continue to do it until somebody says, "Knock it the hell off," and they may be fine. I don't. Who do you find? Do you find the players for having done it, or do you find the senior coach of a club? We've seen precedents now of a senior coach getting fined with Clarko last week for his comments. And a great discussion on the Lace Out podcast live Monday night about that. I hope you'll check that out. But it's just really interesting that this continues when the league keeps saying that they're trying to stamp out, you know, unnecessary contact. And again, I don't necessarily see anything wrong with it. I mean, you're getting into his head a little bit. Are you going to tick him off to where he gets thrown off of his game, or where he does something he's not supposed to do, or he's not in a position he's supposed to be in, or he veers off so he doesn't get, you know, have contact, maybe he's out of position to where he needs to be. I guess as long as the league is not going to clamp down on this and say it stops now, clubs are probably going to continue to do it. And they're going to continue to just poke away at him. They're going to continue to prod and throw those little elbows, those kinds of things. And it's just, I guess it's part of the game. And it certainly has been, you know, part of the, you know, let's try to affect Max Gaughan. It was kind of like in the NBA. And I think I've used this analogy before, the old Hack-a-Shaq. You know, Shaquille O'Neal could not shoot free throws at all. So clubs would, NBA teams would realize, hey, we can just throw a lot of fouls at Shaquille O'Neal, and he's going to make about 50% of them, and 50% of his free throws is better than, you know, 100% of his dunks inside the paint. So I guess I get the strategy of it, but it's something that I think is probably going to have to end sooner rather than later. Or you may see some sort of, you know, an overreaction by somebody. And I think players, you should come to the defense of their teammates. I think that absolutely should happen. But it's just really interesting to continue watching this occur time and time and time again. Looking at the Gold Coast and Richmond game. I mean, this was a game where you have to wonder, why did we see what we saw? You know, again, this was Dimma facing off against his old club that he coached for many, many years, led him to 3 premierships. But is Gold Coast that good, or is Richmond that bad? And I don't think it's either one, quite frankly, yet. Okay. Richmond scuffled this game. They were not very good. Okay. That first half, they just got blitzed. What was it? 11 goals in a row from Gold Coast. They jumped out to a massive, massive lead. You go back and you look at the stats from that game. It was, you know, 11 goals, 8 to 2 goals, 1 at halftime. But then after the third quarter, it was 11-11 and 8-3. So I have to tip my cap to Richmond for getting up off the mat. Now, first of all, I do have to tip my cap to Gold Coast. They played a great game. Matt Rowell, phenomenal effort on his part. Absolutely phenomenal effort on his part. That entire midfield for Gold Coast. And I think I've said this in other episodes that, you know, Gold Coast has an extraordinarily enviable midfield. And if Matt Rowell can stay healthy, can that be a week in and week out performance from him? 20 clearances is an awful lot, okay? You know, Noah Anderson had 8. Tuke Miller only got to have 2. 33 disposals, 28 for Miller, 25 for Noah Anderson. I mean, this is just, it's a quality side that I think is going to get better. But I don't think this was necessarily because Gold Coast was that much better than Richmond. I think they wanted to perform for their new senior coach. They knew it was his old club. They wanted to make sure that they got him a win. Now, they ran out of gas a little bit. Or the veteran leadership you had a first game player who kicked a couple goals with Richmond. And I believe Seth Campbell, I think it was his first game of his career, you know, kicked 2 goals in his debut. But, you know, you had Shea Bolton, Jacob Hopper both kick a couple. Bolton had three, as a matter of fact. But Richmond, you know, traveling, warm weather, slippery weather there. But again, no Toby Dinkervis, no Dusty Martin, no Tom Lynch. And you take Dusty Martin out of, and Tom Lynch out of your side, it's going to affect your club. Okay, so do I think Richmond is as bad as they were in the first half, a 9-goal difference? I don't think Richmond's that bad of a side. I don't think Richmond's going to play finals this year. Okay, I still wonder about their ability to score on a consistent basis. The same issue I have with Melbourne. What is their forward structure going to look like? If they can find somebody to plug in there next to Tom Lynch when he comes back, they may be okay. They're going to win some games that other clubs are going to go, geez, they snuck by us on that one. Okay, I still don't think they're a premiership side. I don't think they're final side this year. They're starting a bit of a rebuild here. Now, it may become expedited. You may see where, you know, they are able to bring in some new youngsters as this club gets a little bit older and they start to, you know, move some of these older players out. But, you know, Gold Coast, very impressed with them. Okay. You know, great effort from Ben King with his 5 goals. Now, I know there was a discussion on Lace Out this morning about what is considered or what construes a bag of goals. Yeah, he'd said that it was 6, you know, Chris Pepper from Lace Out said it was 6 or more. And I think that's been the standard for a long time. I joked there that I said in today's PC climate, it's, you know, it's not until everybody on the club that's in the starting 18 gets a goal. But should we redefine the definition of what a bag is, because the game has changed? You know, we no longer have the Jason Dumstals, the Gary Ablett Sr., you know, the Wayne Careys, the guys who are going out and kicking, you know, 100 goals a season. We don't have that anymore. We don't have, you know, that's not happening. Our Coleman winners might be kicking 70, 65. Okay. Do we redefine what a bag is, or do we still leave it what it is and just have it become that much more exclusive? Okay. It doesn't matter to me. I'm just curious, you know, do we redefine it? This is not to give Peps a hard time at all. I'm just asking the question. I'm just putting it out there because I'm curious as to what your thoughts are on that. But, you know, Gold Coast, terrific performance on their part. Okay. Absolutely terrific performance on their part. And we got to go to GWS and the defending premiers, Collingwood. I mean, and a great game. A great game. You know, Collingwood was a little errant with their kicking. You know, they were first half, they were 6-10, while GWS was 10-5. Okay. So, you know, they had a great fourth quarter. You know, they scuffled in the third. I mean, the third, you know, four goals to none for GWS in the third, where they pulled away. And then they, you know, Collingwood closed the gap a little bit to make it a 32-point game there. But GWS played a great game, you know. So is Callum Brown's 5 goals, is that a bag? Or is it a little tiny bag? Or is it, you know, we're not talking a bushel basket, we're not talking a grocery bag, but maybe it's a little clutch that you take out to, you know, to dinner, you know, late in the evening or something like that. I don't know. I'm rambling here a little bit as far as that goes. But, you know, Callum Brown had a great effort on his part. You know, Jesse Hogan, Brett Daniels each kicked 4 goals apiece as well. You know, this was a game where GWS put 18 goals on the scoreboard, and Toby Green kicked one of them. That's it. Just one. Just one on his part. But he was still doing other things as well. You know, he still had 15 disposals. He had, you know, you know, 4 inside 50s. It's he was keeping the other people defending him busy, opening things up for some of these other players. And, you know, Collingwood did not necessarily play a bad game per se. Again, they were a little errant on their kicking. But this is a club that I don't think I'm ready to say that this was a premiership hangover at all. Okay. But I have to tip my cap to GWS. They sold out their stadium. And I know some of you in Victoria are now going, well, that's easy to do. They've only got 25,000 seats. True. But they did. Okay. They did. And, you know, they a little tongue in cheek with the Mason Cox petting zoo. I thought I loved seeing the imagery of that. That was a lot of fun. But I think this is good for footy. I think the GWS is going to be a really good football team this year. And, I'm looking forward to seeing what they do. And you know, they were good last year. And I just have a feeling that they're probably going to continue. And I think they're going to be even better this year than they had been. And it's great to see. You know, I think that, well, we all want our club to win a premiership. I think if nothing else, we want the games to be competitive. You know, if you are a neutral fan in a game, okay, if you're a Collingwood supporter, of course, you want your club to win. If you're a GWS supporter, you want your club to win. But if you're somebody who's just watching the game, you don't want, at least I don't think you do, you don't want to watch a game that is an absolute blowout. You don't want to watch a 127-46 game. You know, some of the drubbings that West Coast and North Melbourne have taken over the last couple of years as they've been working on their rebuilds. You want to watch games that are competitive, that keep your interest. And again, you know, if you were somebody, you know, whose club did not play this weekend, I mean, I watched all four of the games and I absolutely loved it. Absolutely loved it. I hope that they do something like this again next year. I would love to see them play all nine games up there. As I mentioned at the outset of this, it was just it was a lot of fun. You know, it was a great atmosphere at GWS. I loved seeing the orange tsunami. And I have to say it, and you may disagree with me, and that's perfectly okay. I do really like their team song. I really do. I just think it's a fun song. It's a bouncy little song. I enjoy it. I enjoy it. Now, I don't want to hear it when they, you know, they play the Cats this year, but which I think they're playing at Cardinia Park, and GWS and Fremantle always seem to win down there. But again, I do hope that they keep both, you know, the gather round in round four, maybe they move it back to round five or whatever week they want to do it. I hope that the gather round still happens, but I would love to see them, if the NRL decides to continue playing in the U.S., I hope they really, really consider playing the entire first round up there. And then the second round, if you want to go ahead and have Richmond Carlton back at the MCG in round two. And I know that's going to make a lot of, you know, footy purists angry, and they're shaking their heads and they're telling me, you know, what a flog I am for, you know, mentioning that. But, yeah, I just kind of think it's a great way to highlight the game there when the NRL's focus is somewhere else. And if you can bring in new supporters, if GWS keeps playing well, that's going to generate more interest. It's going to be more membership. Okay. It's going to get more people showing up at the stadium. If Gold Coast starts to play well, it's going to start bringing in, you know, more supporters of that club, hopefully as well, generating more revenue, making them more financially, fiscally solvent on their own, to where they do not need to have any kind of influx of cash from the league, that they can do it themselves. So for the health of the league, you want them to be successful. Okay. You want them to be successful. Now, before I wrap up, and I'm going to be back later this week with Mick Aussie to tip round one. But before I wrap up here today, I do want to kind of let you in on a couple of things. One, I've been telling you now for months how excited I am about making my first trip to Australia this year. I just submitted my passport application on Friday, but I am going to have to push it back until 2025 for a couple of reasons. No, I'm not afraid to come. I want to come. I have the resources to buy my plane ticket right now. I've been shopping for bed and breakfast, or for Airbnbs now. I guess that's technically bed and breakfast as well. I have several of them bookmarked. I found what would be a perfect one that was situated right between the Docklands and the MCG within walking distance of both of them. See, Tiger supporters, it can be done. But I had planned on coming during, and I'm going to pull up the paperwork right here. I had planned initially on coming during rounds starting in round 17. I was going to come round 17 through 20. Okay. And I ended up having to move that back because of the fact that I have to help my daughter move out of her apartment. She graduated from college in December. She lives in the state of North Carolina, which is 9 hours away from me here. So she has to move out of her apartment in mid-July and put everything into storage. And she has a new apartment that she has leased that she gets to move into at the beginning of August. So we have to move everything out of the old apartment. She's going to be not technically homeless, but she's going to be in between places. She has a place to stay for a couple of weeks while she's waiting to get into her new place. But I need to help her get out of the old one and into the new one. So I had moved my timetable back. And then my wife wanted me to move it back even further, but that was going to, I want to come see these guys play. Yeah. Yes. Hopefully they win a premiership, but otherwise I want to come see the Cats play as much as possible. But my wife asked me to back it up an additional 2 weeks, which would have taken me back to the week where they are in Sydney. And which I believe is round. Let me find it here now. It was round. Oh, I don't think I even have it highlighted here. Hang on a second. Oh, it was round 13. So she wanted me to come, it would have been round 13. So week of, June the 6th. Okay. But the Cats are in Sydney that weekend. And then the following week, they have the bye week. So I would have been able to see them play at the MCG against Carlton. And then at the MCG against Essendon, not even getting to see a game at Cardinia Park. So I decided I was going to go ahead and push this back until next year. This is going to let me put a little bit more money aside for the trip so I can do all of the things that I want to do. She wanted me to come for just 3 weeks. I wanted to come for four. Now that I told her, now that I'm pushing it back one more year, I'm going to come for five. She's still negotiating from three. She wants me to still only come for three. I'm going to try to get there for five, because if I'm going to do that, and I'm going to go big, because we're off 10 weeks in the summer from my teaching job. I would love to go see the Cats play somewhere else. If I'm, when the fixture comes out for next year, if I can get to where maybe I go see the Cats play in Adelaide, or I go see the Cats play out at Optus in Perth, or even up in, in Sydney or in Brisbane or the Gold Coast, and get to go to a game there, and then maybe travel to Victoria and be there for three or four rounds to go see them play elsewhere. I mean, one of the things I'd looked at doing is also going to see them this year against North Melbourne down in Tasmania. And that just, it's not going to work. It's not going to work this year, unfortunately, because of this. I've also got, the other component of this is I have a little health issue that I'm trying to get, trying to figure out what the hell it is, quite frankly. I don't want to get into what it is. I'm not ill. I just have something that I have a slight concern about that I need to figure out what it is. And, I don't want it to become an issue while I'm there. I'm absolutely crushed that I'm not coming this year. I'm depressed as hell. I've spent countless hours looking at Airbnbs, looking at flights. If you go back and look at the search history on my computer, how many times I've been to the Qantas or the Delta or the United or the American Airlines or Cathay. I don't remember the Cathay, whatever their airline is. I found flights through them that were going from Cleveland, where I live, to New York City, to Hong Kong, and then on to Melbourne, completely the other direction around the world. Those were really expensive. I mean, I've looked at Air New Zealand. I've looked at Air Canada. I mean, I've been searching for flights. I found the perfect flights. I found what I wanted to be on. Was ready to, you know, to make the purchase. And I went back and I double checked, and I realized before I bought non-refundable tickets, which would have not been a good thing in this case, I needed to take care of these things. So I need to do the parent stuff that I need to do first before I get to go do this. Okay. So I'm not giving up on doing the podcast. Am I a little depressed about it? Yeah, I am. Am I angry about it? No, because I'm helping out my daughter. I'm a little frustrated. I mean, I wish the timing had worked out better, but it is what it is. It's what you have to do as a parent. It's what you have to do as a grown up, if you will. My daughter's a grown up now too. She's a school teacher herself. She's a grown up, but she's going to need some assistance from me. And I want to be there to be able to help her with this. So I am going to have to push this back until 2025. Makes me a year older, gets me 1 year closer to retirement. And I have joked with my wife and said, hey, you know, one of those goals that I have that I would like to do. And I talked to my son about this as well. And my son is, he's an officer in the Navy, and he is, he's moving from a sea tour to a shore tour, starting in the very near future, in about 6 or 8 months, maybe a little longer than that. But next footy season, 2025, he's going to be on shore duty. So, as he said, there may be a possibility that he could even come along with me for like a week. So he could, you know, he could tag along for like a week of this trip, and I could finally convince him to watch this wonderful game. And if he sees it in person, then it might interest him. He's a big baseball fan. And I'm not trying to dissuade him from watching baseball. He loves the game. I loved the game. I hate what they did to it. But if he could come along for a week, that would be awesome. That'd be awesome to have him along for a week, just to do something like that with him. Cause I don't get to see either one of my kids very often because the closest one is 9 hours away. So I'm very thankful for my phone. I'm very thankful for, you know, FaceTime and that sort of thing, and being able to chat that way. But it sucks not being able to see him in person as often as I would like. So I'm going to get the opportunity to spend, you know, quite a few days with my daughter. We'll see how stressful it gets for both of us because, you know, we're going to be working at getting her all packed up. And, oh, do you really need to keep this, or can we throw this in a dumpster? We shall see. So I did want to share that with you. I'm okay. I'm a little bummed out about it, but it is what it is. So I can't wait till the 2025 fixture is out. So if anybody knows anyone at the AFL house and they want to sneak me an advanced copy of the 2025 fixture, and I know we don't get that till 2024 is done, but if they want to send it out like the first week of October, I'd be certainly okay with that, because then I can actually start shopping for flights and I can say, here's when I am going to be there, because come hell or high water, I will be there next year, and I will see the Cats play at least 4 times next year, and I'm going to see as much other goddamn footy as I can, because I love this game. I thank all of you for sharing it with me, and I can't wait to meet as many of you as I possibly can, whether it be in Victoria or hopefully getting to travel to another state while I'm there as well. So I'm hoping to do some travel within the country while I'm there. Maybe I fly into Melbourne, go visit somewhere else, come back to Melbourne, fly home out of Melbourne. We shall see. But ladies and gentlemen, remember, you can find everything related to my podcast over at my website, yankonthefooty.com. I hope you'll get on the mailing list there. If you enjoy the show, I do hope you'll leave a review. If you want to help out the podcast, you can certainly click on that Buy Me a Coffee button as well. You can leave a voicemail there. If you got an idea for a guest, maybe you'd be a great guest. Okay, please reach out. Okay, you can find all of my links to my socials, Facebook, Instagram, X, or Twitter at @yank_on. All of those are linked, LinkedIn. They're all linked over at my website. You can find my blog over there as well. I do have all 18 of my preview episodes out. If you've not listened to those yet, Your Favorite Clubs is up and out. If you've not listened to the 2024 preview episode that I did with Mick Aussie, I invite you to check that out as well. And folks, look out for one another. Check up on your friends. Make sure they're okay. If you need to talk to somebody, please, please reach out to them. I have those numbers for the United States and Australia in the show notes for every single episode of the podcast. please, please reach out to somebody if you need to talk to someone. The world is a much better place with you here. Okay. And ladies and gentlemen, I appreciate the kind words. I appreciate all of the wonderful comments, the friendship that you have shown. And as always, may a dribble kick never hit the post. I will catch you later. And this has been episode 316 of Yank on the Footy. Remember, you can reach me at yank_on Twitter or to yankonthefooty@gmail.com. You can find me on Instagram or Facebook. Just look for a Yank on the Footy podcast or Yank on the Footy. I appreciate you listening. I do hope you'll share the episode with your friends and family. And until next time, cheers and goodbye.